It is written, V'davar be'itay ma'tayv, a word in due season, how good it is. On this, Rashi comments, one studies the laws of Pesach and of Sukkot in their season. Every subject should be studied at its proper time, as opposed, for example, to studying the Maamarim of Pesach during the winter or the Maamarim of Rosh Hashanah at an inappropriate time of year. And in this, one should distinguish between study for the sake of knowledge or familiarity with the material, such study being equally in order at all times, and study connected with the Aveda on a particular theme which a person is presently working on. This must be clear to all, that as explained earlier, the study of Chassidus isolated from Aveda and deeds is not Chassidus. The effect of one's study of Chassidus must be felt in practical Aveda. It is true that in order that this should happen, there needs to be, in each man according to his measure, a knowledge and an understanding of the area of Aveda being dealt with, and this takes a great deal of time in advance. But then when the season of Pesach comes around, and once again the person studies in brief the themes underlying Pesach, and with these concepts occupying his mind, he prays and experiences his Pesach, or studies in advance the subjects appropriate to Rosh Hashanah, and then exercises himself accordingly in the acceptance of the yoke of heaven, then his study has realized its function. True enough, even there, distinctions may be drawn as to whether or not the person involved is in fact living at the level of a spiritual exercise, and if so, to what extent. But without a doubt, something meaningful has resulted from his study, even if he is one of those whose aspirations are undefined. This may be understood by means of a physical analogy. Playing a musical instrument is a profound art. There is much to be learned as to how to produce each individual sound, or variety of harmonizing sounds from the same instrument, or a composition combining a range of instruments, all of which need to be tuned according to the laws of musical theory. Now, one who is expert in this discipline knows that if his fingers touch a certain string of the violin, a certain note will result. And if his finger strikes a certain drum, a particular sound will result. And so too with an ensemble of instruments which combine in harmony can produce sweet music to arouse and delight the soul. It is true that when one who is unschooled in musical theory touches the strings or strikes the drum, a sound is likewise produced, according to all the laws of musical theory, but he is ignorant of them. The lesson from this analogy can be understood by all. The soul has five names whose acronym is Naran Chai, Nefesh Ruach Neshama, Chaya and Yechida. They are, as it were, ground floor, second floor, third floor, fourth floor, and fifth floor. These levels of the soul correspond to all the four worlds, Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, as well as the infinite world above Atzilus, for they are all represented in the faculties, koichos of the soul. This is known from the familiar statement that the faculties of the soul derive from the 10 spheres of Atzilus, and Re'usa Deliba, the soul's innate yearning for God, and Mesiras Nefesh, self-sacrifice, derived from the infinite worlds above Atzilus. Through the teachings of Chassidus, the path of Re'usa Deliba and Mesiras Nefesh in the divine service of the reading of Shema has, thank God, become a highway open to all. In other words, the ground floor thus has a connection with the fifth floor. So when a Jew down here on the ground floor is called up to the Torah and says, Baruch Hu Es Hashem HaMevorach, bless God who is blessed, then even though he does not know what Kabbalistic Kavanist have in mind, nevertheless these words of his are echoed in all the four worlds. Just as the Nefesh says them here in the world of Asiya, so too do his Ruach and Neshama and Chaya say them in their respective worlds of Yetzira, Bria, and Atzilus. And these words are all sensed by the Yechida of his soul in the manner in which they appear in the infinite worlds above Atzilus. Here too, one may distinguish between a person who has mastered all the intricacies of the mystical Kavanos, and one who understands these concepts in general terms only, and one who does not even have a general perception of what is involved. Nevertheless, His words do set up reverberations in all the lofty worlds, just as in the analogy of the violin string. But he, poor fellow, knows nothing of all of that. This not knowing, however, refers only to the lowest level, the ground floor. At the higher levels, these things are known. Sure enough, and concerning this it is written, V'tzidkasa yoymedes la'ad, and his righteousness endures forever. For the worshipper described above has capital deposited in the higher worlds, he will know in due course. Through this we will understand something puzzling. May the Almighty grant all Israel length of days, and good and radiant years materially and spiritually, and may we be privileged to witness the coming of the righteous Mashiach. In Gan Eden, both in the lower Gan Eden, a level which is no mean attainment, and most certainly in the upper Gan Eden, when a tzaddik sits in a heavenly place, surrounded by tzaddikim, chassidim, ga'onim, and Torah scholars, as well as by plain householders and artisans, a query presents itself. There is no difficulty in understanding why the chassidim and ga'onim and Torah scholars are to be found in the place of the tzaddik. But what of the plain, unsophisticated Jews? Those who recite psalms and who listen to something explained in Enakev, just simple, ordinary Jews who drop in on a comradely chassidischer verbringen? How did they find their way there? The answer is that when an ordinary fellow wearing market boots goes along to his local Beis Medrash to join in communal prayers, and is called up to the Torah and recites Tehillim, listens in to the reading of Ein Yaakov, helps Torah scholars, and listens to the study and public exposition of Chassidus, then even though he may not understand everything he hears, the benefit occurs, and the account comes at the end. And that explains why after this life, men whose learning is scant occupy their due place in the heavenly places of tzaddikim. From the foregoing, one may understand that there is a difference between the revealed levels of the Torah and the inner levels of the Torah. For in the revealed levels, the various topics may be classified according to the degree of understanding appropriate to each, and the student's Aveda is geared to increasing his grasp and knowledge of this subject. For in addition to the observance of the laws which have practical application, knowledge too is required. With the inner level of the Torah, however, the main thrust of a person's Aveda is preparing himself for the acceptance of yoke of heaven, observing even that which transcends his comprehension in a matter that bespeaks his utter devotion to Chassidus. Thus it is that with an unscholarly person too, the effects of this Aveda are in truth tangible. Now we will be able to understand the difference in approach between before and after Petersburg. The manner of the Alter Rebbe's teaching before Petersburg could be described as the revelation of the luminary Gilui Hama'ar. The luminary was in a state of self-revelation, but as to the brotherhood of Hasidim, their divine service was not yet set out in orderly fashion, working upward step by step. This is illustrated in the well-known story of the Chassid Rebbe Kusil Lepli. On his first visit to La'azna, he clambered up to the window of the attic where the Alter Rebbe had his study, sat himself on the sill, and said, "Rebbe, chop off my left side," referring to the left side of the heart, where the evil inclination dwells. The Rebbe, who was sitting at his table wearing his tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam, motioned him to step down from the windowsill, and then leaned his hand on his head and said, "Ribbeinu Shalaylam, is it not written, and you give life to them all, Va'ata Mechaya Es Kulam?" And from that time on, Rabbi Kusil was charged with chayas, vitality. Ultimately, this vitality gave rise to a command of the profoundest of subjects, though this took some years, being attained in the time of the Mittel Rebbe. The vitality with which he was immediately endowed manifested itself as a revelation of light. He would be utterly lit up by a flash of light. When this light flared up within him, he would become quite a different man, and would sing away, "Time to dance! It's time to dance!" And whoever he happened to encounter, and had no choice but to join him in his little dance, especially since a refusal might soon make the stranger feel the persuasion weight of his cane. One day, Rabbi Kusil was suddenly bestirred to sing his jolly ditty while walking down a street in Borisov. So his partner for that day's dance was the local postman. In the words of my grandfather, the Rebbe Maharash, when the revelation came, he would be utterly lit up by a flaring light. Rabbi Kusil had been, in fact, no outstanding scholar. He used to conduct his business with integrity. When a certain Gentile customer once made a mistake involving a few kopecks while buying salt in his shop, Rabbi Kusil investigated on all sides until he traced which village he came from, and then walked several miles there so that he could return the difference to him. Hearing of this, the Alter Rebbe commented, "For such a sanctification of the divine name, Kiddush Hashem, one is blessed with extremely wealthy grandchildren." And in fact, the banker Salavi was his grandson. In time, his comprehension of Chassidus grew so exceedingly that my grandfather, the Rebbe Marash, once said that Rabbi Kusil had clarified for him a certain abstruse subject in Imrei Bina. My grandfather, the Rebbe Marash, told my father that each of the books which my great-grandfather, the Mittler Rebbe, wrote was intended for a particular category of Chassidim. Imrei Bina was written for Rabbi Kusil of Lepli. Furthermore, as has been mentioned above, his grasp of Chassidus grew in the course of a number of years, but even after this time it came in the manner of a revelation from above. In fact, my great-grandfather, the Tzemach Tzedek, wanted to clothe this revelation in the garments of steady intellectual endeavor, and instructed him to study Kav HaYashar and Chumash with the commentary of Rashi, though the instruction was not so readily accepted. I heard from my father that Rav Shmuel Ber of Borisov had told him that Rabbi Kusil used to call on him with his heavy fur coat, lay his cane on the table and say, "Shmuel Ber, tell me, what is the question that's bothering me?" Now Rabbi Kusil was not the kind of man you could trifle with. In fact, one had to watch one's every word. A man once made some remark to him in jest, and Rabbi Kusil reacted sternly. "He is jesting? I myself heard from the Alter Rebbe that when one jests, one gets involved with demons. Let the demons get hold of that man." And that man, heaven forfend, went out of his mind. Neither the remedies of the physicians nor the segulas that were tried were able to help in the slightest. At any rate, when Rabbi Kusil visited him and made his demand, Reb Shmuel Ber would suggest all manner of topics which are discussed in the philosophical literature of Chassidus, until he would light upon the subject on which his visitor had sought instruction. Rabbi Kusil would then reply excitedly, "Yes, yes, you found it exactly. Now go ahead and explain it to me." Reb Shmuel Ber remarked that his visitor's questions were sharp and related to the profoundest concept of Hasidic literature. This, then, was the style of teaching before Petersburg. The luminary was revealed for everyone. True, the Alter Rebbe had initiated an order of inward avodah as reflected in the graded course of study in the three chadarim which he had founded. In a sense, this was the making of vessels for the light. But in the main, the luminary was revealed for all. And when a luminary is in a state of revelation, then that which is not a vessel also illuminates. After Petersburg, however, the light of Chassidus was revealed only in an orderly and graduated fashion, in the appropriate intellectual vessels, and with ample verbal explanation.